Hey, Mike, Eugene Rapay from the Des Moines Register. As a coach that's been around the block in the Big 12, what do you have to say about the way that Matt Campbell has built up Iowa State since taking over 10 years ago?
Well, Matt's been very successful for quite a while. I was thinking about that the other day. I don't know how many years he's been there, but been very successful and done a good job. Not a place that's it's a really easy build, but built it up really well. They ought to take good care of him, try to keep him there as long as possible. He's been very good for our conference.
Okay, we'll go center left.
Mike, Eric Bailey with the Tulsa World. I wanted to ask you about the quarterback room. It looks a lot different than it did at the end of the spring. Can you talk about your message to the remaining quarterbacks and how their summer went?
Well, obviously it's different. We don't have a quarterback that's ever played a snap for us at Oklahoma State. We've got a little bit of familiarity with a couple guys coming through spring, but it's one of the things in the future of college football that's a little bit scary is you don't have as many guys in that room as you'd want to, but I think that Coach Meacham and our staff understand the importance in finding out who gives us the best chance to win and building our offense around that system.
Again, if you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll go to front row, center right.
Hey, Coach Gundy, Nick Hamilton, Nightcast Media. Just wanted to ask you, going from being a former player to being a current head coach, how surreal is it for you to see yourself in the new college football game, and how much fun? Have you got a chance to even play it?
I have not played the game, but I think it's pretty cool that somebody put me in a video game. I don't know if somebody showed me the picture just recently of it, and they gave me a great hairdo. Like, I have really good hair, but, I mean, that's like permanent hair for, like, forever. But I'm good with it. I wish my royalties off it were as much as the players, but it should be fun.
We'll go center left, third row.
Scott Rixon with the AP. Mike, how did the results of a year ago sort of shape your offseason assessment of where your program is?
So the offseason for us has been crazy. Obviously, we know about all the changes in college football, and for the most part, we all live day to day. Players coming in, players going out, recruiting. For me, it was extremely busy. New staff, new coordinators. Those guys bring in their own staff. We have 65 new players, 35 of them we've never seen practice before. And they just showed up in June. 18 of those-ish are transfers, and the other are high school players. So it's a very unusual experience. They've done really well over the last 4 or 5 weeks in off season, but August practice will be more important now than it ever has been based on the new faces.
We'll go center right, fourth row.
Coach Lee Rivera with Scope Up Sports. Having all these new players in, what is it like trying to build a scheme around so many new guys as compared to what you used to do 20 years ago, having, you know, faces you were familiar with already?
So whenever I used to go on vacation in July, I had a really good idea of who our two deep was going to be. In most cases, who the quarterback was going to be. I'm going to try to go on vacation in a week or so, and I'm not sure that I know who will be the starters in 8 of the 22 spots. That's not counting special teams. So it's very unusual. And coaches understand that it's going to have to happen faster in August this year than it ever has before, so we can get established, so we can create some identity, hopefully develop some team chemistry, and get ready to play in the first game.
We'll go front row, center right.
Coach Lynn Harrington with Stay Alive in Power 5, how you doing today?
I'm doing good.
All right. So following a disappointing season last year where you went winless in conference play, your contract was restructured. And I don't ever like to get into, you know, money or anything, but it involved, like, you being really involved in a successor whenever you decide to retire. So where do you see like the program at in the near future, probably in the next 3 years?
So did you ask me where I see the program at the next few years? Is that what you asked me? So one thing that I think is important to remember is that I've been fortunate enough to be the head coach for now going on 21 years. And we've had 19 winning seasons in a row and played a really high level of college football. And for the majority of those years, we could have beat any team in the country on any given day at any time. So we have to go through a little bit of a rebuilding phase this year. One, because we needed to upgrade in certain areas, but the other because we lost a large number of veteran players last year. We were going to have to so-called rebuild anyway. We were prepared for that, but I will say that the changes with the way we go about rebuilding, whether it's financially or roster management, have been challenging but also intriguing because it's something new. It's different than it's ever been before in my 21 years as a head coach.
We'll go center left, 6 foot.
Drake Toll, Locked On Big 12. Coach, in the NIL era, how do you combat player entitlement?
That's a great question from a young person. Boy, I'm trying to figure out how to combat entitlement in the world in general, much less college athletes. That's a real challenge. We talked about it. I shared earlier with a group one thing that I've said to the team twice this summer and to the coaches, that when we start on July 27th, two things have to go out the window. One, thinking of transferring or taking other jobs as a coach or a player. Two, the money aspect has to go to the side. Because for the most part, the coaches and the players, all of us, including me, are going to be at this location until at least December. The teams that can put that to the side and the coaches that can put that to the side, concentrate on coaching and playing football and find a way to come together, in my opinion, get the best chance to win. That's the only way that I think that we can handle the monetary side of college football at this time.
We'll go to center right, 6 row.
Hey, Mike. James Wicks from KSWO. Last year, you guys had a lot of returning players and hype, and this year, it's maybe not as much. Do you use that as fuel of how you guys finished last year going into this year?
You know, I got asked that earlier, but so roster management now is 105, and then you get an additional players. I don't know what that title they're calling them, but basically walk-ons. So we should be at around 115, and I'm going to guess that 60% of those players weren't here last year. So if I was to try to use that, they would be scratching their head and really wondering what I was talking about. So I think it's important that each individual player has to find a way to motivate themselves in order to benefit our team. Now, we could have players that were on our team last year that are motivated by that, and that's okay. We're all different. Things that motivate me, the new trend, trying to stay on the cutting edge of the future of college football, learning more about the business side of college football. So that would be an example of what would motivate me to continue for our team to play well and win football games.
Front row, center left.
Mitch Harper, KSL Sports. Mike, I'm curious, you know, Commissioner Yormark has doubled down on the 5+11 model in the college football playoff. Why does that model benefit the Big 12 long term?
So I read most of the commissioner's remarks from yesterday, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. The Big 12 has the best commissioner in all sports. in my opinion. He's energetic. He thinks out of the box. He's motivated. But as I spend time with him, what I learn maybe more than anything about him is he has a way of getting a group together, having a discussion, and then coming up with a plan. And having a plan gives us the best chance. And so when you talk about the 5-11, is that what you're referring to? I listened to it, read about it. When the discussions first started in Orlando a few weeks ago, I really didn't have much input because they start talking about a lot of numbers and that was over my head. But then as I listened to it and heard from all the other coaches, it made a lot of sense from the standpoint of, don't we all want to play the game and decide who should get in the end and not just set it up to where certain conferences get in, whether they don't play as well as other schools, because ultimately we're trying to find the best teams, whatever that number is, to get in a playoff, seed them appropriately, and then let them play for a championship. And so I'm in agreement with the commissioner, and it's by far the best way. I understand the backlash. Well, what if you only get one team in? Well, then the other teams need to play better. That's what I would say to Oklahoma State. That's what I would say to me as a head coach. So I like the Big 12 Conference. I like the future of this league. And I put my name behind the agreement that we made that standard, that 5-11, is the way it should be. And if you play well, you deserve it, you earn it, you get in. If you don't, then you try again next year.
Time for a couple more questions. We'll go center left in the back.
Good morning, Coach. Alyssa Cooper with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. So the Big 12 Conference has undergone a lot of changes over the past couple of years. How does that impact your recruiting when you're talking to players about the level of competition and the exposure that they can expect?
Well, one thing has happened, to go back to what we've done with our Big 12 Conference and the networks that we now have invited in that are tied in with games and the coverage and exposure that we can get. We're up to 16 teams now. There's still a new feel to this league. I think that is exciting and draws viewership across the country. The one thing that this league has is a lot of rivalry games that will continue on with the teams that have been in this league for a period of time, and then some of the schools that have come in just recently allow that to happen. And then I'm starting to see some new rivalries that are being created. There's a lot of reasons for us to be able to communicate to a young man that they should be excited about playing in the Big 12 Conference.
All right, our final question. Center up.
Yeah, Barry Trammell, Tulsa World. Mike, your quarterback model has changed. Used to be, we knew what it was. It's varied in recent years. What would you like it to be? And what are these guys contending for this job this year? How close are they to that standard?
I think with quarterback play, it ties into kind of the new wave of college football, and that most coaches would agree that if you can keep two guys on your roster that have some sort of experience that you feel like can go in and compete in a game, that you'll be fortunate. I don't know that anybody will be able to carry three now because of the availability of quarterbacks to transfer. It is the one position that there is reason for transferring, because obviously you only play one in a game. A young man can get stuck behind a good player and not ever get a chance to play. So we have to build our offense around the availability we have at quarterback, different than maybe in the past where we had recruited a certain type of player. I'm guessing that you're referring to pocket passer, ability to run and such. Wherever you find the quarterback that you think can be the most productive, provide leadership, and the team will rally around him and give you the best chance to win, then Coach Meacham and his staff have to find a way to build our offense around that player as we move forward. I don't know that we'll have the luxury to so-called recruit a prototype quarterback to fit our system more so than a quarterback that can play well enough and we'll design the system around him.